Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 160. As always, our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and buy some stuff. You know, Christmas is past. New Year's is now very recently past. And you need something to fill your life, and that's probably stuff, right? So buy some stuff. It kicks a little bit of money back to us so we can record this podcast and put out great content to you guys. So we'd appreciate that. With us today, as always, is Bob. What's up, Bob?
Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year.
It is the first. It's January 1st, 2019.
Working on a holiday.
I know. Look at us.
Getting it done.
Yeah, man. So how was your New Year's? How's everything?
It's pretty good. It's pretty tame. It ended up being the weather was garbage here. Rain all day. So we scrapped our plans to go out downtown. We have a little ball drop and stuff in Grand Rapids, so we were going to do that, but we did not. We just stayed in, got fat. How about you?
Yeah, same thing. We were going to go out downtown, and it rained, and it was cold. And, you know, sometimes you just don't feel like dealing with, you know, people.
Absolutely.
You know, and with everything that we have going on, getting ready for CES, it was just nice to relax, you know, with friends and just, you know, celebrate the New Year that way.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's, you know, pretty much. You know, one thing I have to say is that I don't have cable, right?
Yeah.
And the AB or NBC stream was horrible.
Oh, really?
Like, it wasn't a dedicated stream, right? It was like their B-roll cameras just like on the stream.
Oh.
For like as big of as YouTube is, it's like huge, right?
Yeah.
More people watch YouTube than say a lot of TV shows. You could have done a lot better, NBC. Now, come on. I get it that like, you know, people have cable and like that's your audience, but like you should have had something.
Yeah. You don't have just an antenna though?
I'm sure I can get like over the air stuff. I just never do. Like I just
Yeah, like the whole of New Year's is on over the air.
Yeah. I was just like, you know, you would think 2018. And one thing
I totally agree.
Like they didn't have like audio for certain people turned off. So like some of the performers, like when they were talking and like swearing over
that's
the stream,
awesome, actually.
You could hear them, and like I forget the girl who performed right before the ball dropped, the girl in the white, whoever that was.
Christina said, Aguilera?
No. Some baby
Christina what?
Yeah, baby Rexa or something.
Oh, I'm pretty sure.
Anyways, she said, "Oh my boob," like on the stream. You know what I mean? It's just like not very well done for a, you know, a massive thing, which is New Year's and a massive company.
Yeah, no, totally.
Could have been done a lot better. But besides that, New Year's was good.
Right.
You know, and we're coming into a new year and a new year of tech, which is, I think this year is going to be pretty exciting for a lot of reasons, which we'll get into. But let's jump to reviews. And we have four reviews this week. I think we have two editor's choices and one recommended award this week, too.
Kidding.
So some really awesome products to start off the new year. And first, we'll start with probably the most wanted RGB DDR4 kit out there. Yeah. It's G-Skills Trident Z Royal. We've all seen this kit. It is amazing. It looks great. It has great performance as well. So what G-Skill did, and it was kind of interesting because G-Skill was one of the first ones to come out with RGB memory. And their Trident Z RGB kits were like the best. Like they still look, you know, even like, I guess a year and a half later after they came out, or maybe even 2 years, they still look really good. They don't look dated or anything like that. It's just a good overall design. So you're thinking like, how can G-Skill top this? Right.
Right.
And you would think they would change the design drastically or something like that. And with the Trident Z Royal, they've kept the same overall design, but they've changed it up a little bit. So the heat spreaders are now this polished aluminum that's like mirror-like. We have the silver version. They come in gold as well. So it looks like chrome almost. So you have these awesome chrome heat spreaders that are like a mirror. I mean, they look awesome. And then on top of that, instead of their normal light bar, which is like just a normal like diffused white light bar, they have this kind of crystalline light bar that looks like a row of crystals atop the heat spreader, and it just looks awesome. Like you would think, like, why haven't we thought about this, right? And I don't know why we haven't, but it just really sets this kid off and just makes it look amazing. And one thing that's really cool too is that because of the design of the diffuser, the light bar at the top, it kind of like refracts and puts light off in different directions. So you kind of have like this kind of like light show that's going on inside your case as well, that adds to everything. So
that's awesome.
I have to say, like, this is probably one of the best kits I've reviewed looks wise. As far as performance, it does really well too. They have a custom PCB in there, and all the ICs for this memory are handpicked. So you know you're going to get a lot of performance out of it, and you're going to get a lot of overclocking headroom. We were able to get this kit. It's a 3200 megahertz kit. We were able to get it up to 3600 megahertz without changing the voltage or without changing the timings.
Really?
That's really, really impressive.
That's a ton of room.
Yeah, a lot of room, and everything like that. It's just a good kit. And you know what's one thing I also liked is that while this is like a super, I wouldn't say it's like limited edition because I don't believe they're limited edition, but it's a high-end kit. It doesn't have a massively high-end price. This kit, the one that we reviewed, is $199.99, so $200, which is about a $40 premium over their normal Trident Z kit. So I don't think that's horrible either.
Not really. I mean, it's easily $40 better, I'd say that. It's still a lot of money to pay for memory, but that just kind of goes and speaks to the price of memory in general. But yeah, the $40 premium is I think that's pretty much nothing for what you get, because I think these are easily three or four times better looking than the the Trident Z's really look bad, but these just look great.
Yeah, I mean, if I had the choice, if I had to pay an extra $40, I would definitely get this kit. And one thing I do want to mention too is they've redone their software. So even if you have a motherboard that has RGB support, or if you don't, you can still use this memory. So, you know, it does work with Asus Aura Sync, but again, if you don't have that, you can use their software, which is really good. And the original version, when we reviewed the Trident Z RGB, was basically a skin of Aura Sync, and it just didn't work very well. This is completely redesigned. It looks much better. You can there's 8 LEDs on each dim, and you can control them all individually. So you can do some pretty cool designs if you want. You can completely customize it. They have like 12 or 13 set, like, you know, loaded effects too. So you can do a lot with it. I think, like I said, it's just a great overall kit. Priced well, looks amazing. So that's why I gave it our Editor's Choice Award, because it's just good. I mean, it's just awesome.
That's awesome. I didn't think it would be any less than that, to be honest, when we saw it. It's just stunning. I think that it might... I mean, it's going to come down to individual taste, and there's the RGB haters out there too, but I think you'd be, in my opinion, hard-pressed to find a better-looking memory kit.
So. And the thing is, too, even if it's not RGB, right? So, like, there's gold and there's the silver or chrome looking. Imagine just making all the LEDs white on the silver one.
Yeah.
And then making all the LEDs gold on the gold one. I mean, that just would look stunning by itself.
That diffuser by itself is just, like, fantastic. That's what it comes down to, is that crystalline diffuser is just, like you said, why was this never thought of? But, I mean, I have a feeling we're going to see all sort of prismatic type diffusers now that this has come out, because there are a lot of options out there for this sort of thing. So
yeah, as long as it works well, that's the thing. It has to work well. So hopefully we see some more designs and different RGB memory at CES, but I definitely would say this is definitely the RGB kit to get in 2019 for sure. So moving on from that, we have another awesome product that I feel is priced very well. It's NZXT's H500i, which is their compact mid-tower. It does support ATX motherboards, and it's just a solid case. It, again, supports ATX motherboards, long graphics cards, has a tempered glass side panel, and we have the i version, which is like supposed to be the smart version. It comes with a smart device that you can control the two included fans, and there's also two RGB strips included inside the case, pre-mounted for you. So you're getting a lot, I think, for $100. When you think of $100, it's a you can get some decent cases for that, but you know, adding in two RGB strips, adding in the smart device that allows you to control the fan, so you're basically getting a digital fan controller that you control with software with this case as well. Tempered glass side panel, easy installation. You can fit a 280 millimeter rad in the front. The top and back are limited when it comes to cooling, so you have a little bit of limitations when it comes to cooling if you wanted to do like a custom water cooling loop or something like that. But I think that this case is great for builders. It gives you a lot. It allows you to show off your system because you're getting the lights pre-installed. And it has, it's such a nice look. The front panel and the top panel are actually one piece. So you have a perfect 90 degree angle there. That's like the NZXT look. And they're able to do that because they have the intake on the side, on the rear panel. I think it's just a great execution and great price. And I think it's $89 now on Amazon. It was $99, but it's $89 now. So I just think it's a great value. It was easy to build in. I didn't run into any issues. The one problem I have with this, which everybody who's reviewed this, I think, has had, is that there is a cage for your hard drives. One, that cage only supports 3.5-inch drives, which is kind of a bummer.
There's no mounting plates for 2.5s?
There's not. And that you have to remove that cage completely from the case to install your drives. There's no trays. If they had trays, that would eliminate both of those problems.
That sounds like they feel that pretty much nobody's going to use it.
I think it might have been you're adding in those trays. That's a little bit extra cost.
Not really, though. I wouldn't think not a ton because... You already have this thing fabbed up, right? You're not designing anything. You just got to add it in there. I don't know.
You have
four mounting positions for 2.5 drives?
Two.
And there's two on top of the... I'm seeing two on the back panel, and then... Does it only come with two trays?
Yeah, there's only two trays.
Oh, okay. So you could get more trays, though, probably.
Yeah, you get more trays if you wanted. I think at the price point that it's at, it's not a bad deal.
I agree.
And again, you can control the RGB lighting and the fans via cam.
Mm-hmm.
And this does have like that adaptive noise reduction, which you can basically calibrate your fans. And then if you're gaming or something, it's going to provide enough cooling so that obviously you don't overheat your components, but it's going to keep the system quiet as well, which is cool too. So you have all of that built in. Again, you know, I think it's a good price for what you're getting. And if you don't want those smart features and you don't want the RGB strips, there's just the H500, which is $69.
That's pretty cheap.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap for what you get. And this is like a good quality case. Like, it doesn't feel cheap. Like, we've seen a lot of cases that have really good features, but the build quality is really cheap. Like, this is all steel. It's good steel. It doesn't bend. That we've seen.
Not wobbly or anything.
Yeah, it's not wobbly or anything. And one thing I also did like is both panels, especially the tempered glass side panel, if you look at it, there's no screws on the panel. And we've seen that design where like the screws are on the panel. I think it just messes up the overall look of a case. You know what I mean?
It's a different look.
Yeah.
I think it's a different look.
So for this, what they've done is they've made a single thumb screw on the back, unlike the like you would normally see on a side panel,
top right, the
but
back,
this panel, yeah. This panel goes into the it goes into the frame of the case. So the panel itself is flush with the corners of the case. Does that make sense?
Does it drop inside, or how is it secured? Is it attached to that? Is it attached to the white portion on the bottom, or is that part of the overall frame?
The white portion.
There's like what is essentially the PSU yours is black, sorry. I'm just looking at the white photo.
Oh gotcha. So there's small, it like kind of hooks in at the bottom, and then there's two kind of things at the top that you press it in and it stays there.
Okay.
And then you of course secure it with that thumb screw on the back panel.
Okay. So what is essentially the front part of the PSU shroud that does not hinge, that stays in place.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the back panel is the same way. It goes into the case. So basically when you're looking at the case, it's completely flush on all sides. And that's just an awesome design element. Nice. Yeah, like I said, I don't think you're going to find a better case that offers all of these features at this price point.
NZXT basically owns the $100 to the $120 price point. Like, absolutely basically owns that price point.
Yeah.
And they kind of always have. I think since the Phantom, they have been... There's no other case that has the... Or no other cases that has the features that theirs do at that price range.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, it's just a good case. Like I said, you'd be very hard-pressed to find another case that has all of the features and executed well. Like I said, we only have that one real issue with this case. It's just very, very good. So I gave this our recommended award because I just think it's that good of a case. Nice. I would recommend it to anybody doing a system build. Micro ATX, ATX. This obviously doesn't support anything above ATX. And they have the optional, I didn't really mention it because you have to buy the extra bracket for it. But you do have the ability to mount your graphics card vertically to show it off.
Oh, cool.
Mount is in the back of the case, but you have to buy the ribbon cable and then the mount for it.
Does that eliminate your ability to use those front 2.5 inch bays then?
I think you would lose one, but okay. I think you could still fit one
kind of under the front end of the card.
Yeah, I believe you could do that.
Interesting.
But yeah, like I said, it's just good. It's just a good case.
Right.
And completely, being it's hard. It's very uncommon for us to go through a soul system build and like not have any real issues. Like there's always something, right, when it comes to a build.
Reviews are they're an animal, man. Yeah.
And with this, it's just, everything worked. Everything went flawlessly. Like I said, the hard drive thing was like an issue, but it wasn't anything that like made me be like, why didn't they do this, right?
It almost feels like they're just a step ahead in eliminating that to me.
Yeah,
like it's we're not eliminating the 3.5 inch drives anytime soon, I wouldn't say, but like it is coming. There's going to be a point where it just makes sense that everything is on solid state.
Yeah,
so
yeah, for sure.
Well, speaking of excellent products, I did a review.
You did?
Yeah,
tell us about it.
I checked out the Corsair H115i RGB Platinum, which is their latest all-in-one water cooler, and it was phenomenal. You kind of, with Corsair, I mean, they make everything in it, so it's kind of like when you, it's another product, okay, let's see how this one does. I don't have the highest hopes for them, and then they always end up being like great. And this one especially, I found, was probably their best cooling product that I've had my hands on to date.
Oh, nice. And this is their 280mm AIO?
Correct. So this is a 280mm AIO with a redesigned pump and ARGB fans and ARGB lighting on the pump itself. So they not only did they add, because we when we reviewed their previous, like the H150i, was that the RGB? I think it was just the H150i. It had RGB on the pump, but like it just, you looked at it and you're like, well, why aren't there RGB fans? This, like, that is the thing that really lights the case up, and that's what's really missing. And we asked them, and we mentioned that in the review, and like Corsair listens, man. They, what do you know? They come out with a product with the ARGB fans in it. So, they're absolutely fantastic fans. The lighting on them just looks phenomenal. And then you've got IQ, their control software, which is like CAM, if you're familiar with that instead. And it's not as robust of a suite, I wouldn't say. But as far as the fan control, it's got everything you want, and they've got a ton of profiles built up in that. We put a little video in there showcasing those, and like, it's kind of everything you'd ever want, I found. And then if you want more, you can reprogram every RGB or every LED if you really want to. So, nice. That, and then they also redesigned that pump, so it's a little bit higher performing, and they actually put in what I think is an aluminum. It could just be stamped steel, I suppose, but it's a metal top on the pump itself, and it just feels so much better than all the plastic tops, I just gotta say. Nice. They put the ARGB LEDs in that, so that kind of steps the level up with that. Looks a little bit... The previous version has two rings in it, one around the outside and then one around the, one in the top of it. By rings, I mean diffuser for the LEDs. This only has the one in the top, but I think it's worth the trade-off to get that brushed metal look because it just looks great, it feels great, and that pump performs better. This is for a 280 millimeter cooler. It's the fourth best performing cooler that we've ever tested, and well above anything in its size range. So, I mean, that it puts it like right up there with custom water cooling kits.
Nice. And what's the price on this?
It's $170. So, I didn't really count that as a con or a pro because it's expensive for cooling. But I think that it's justified. It's just expensive is what that is.
I
all
think
it
too.
Is.
You get into higher price when you get those RGB fans.
Exactly.
I mean, they're just expensive.
Yeah.
In general. But I do like that you can control everything via one suite of software.
Yep.
You don't have an exterior controller that you have to click for the RGBs, and then you have software for maybe the pump speed or like vice versa. Like it's all one thing.
Yep, all in one spot.
I definitely like that.
The only thing the only thing really lacking, it's not technical, right? So the graphing in it is not great. So if you're a pretty deep nerd when it comes to your cooling, you're gonna be a little disappointed with this stuff. Probably end up running some other monitoring software as well.
Gotcha.
But I mean, it's if you remember back to Link, I felt was a little sketchy. It wasn't the most stable software. IQ, I feel, is polished. It's great.
Yeah, well, they needed it. What were they? What was the two different softwares? They had Link for their AIOs, and then they had...
what was it?
Was it just called Q? I think it was just called Q.
Yeah,
like, they had Corsair Q for their gaming devices, and it was like, we need to bring everything together. Like, I don't want to run... Yeah. You know, I have two Corsair products. One's a keyboard, one's AIO. Like, I don't want to run two pieces of software
right.
for two different things,
we
both of which
before.
Are outdated. Anyways, that's awesome. It looks like a good cooler. I haven't seen one of these in person, so I'm sure we'll see them at CES.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, to see it. But, yeah
it's great.
Definitely check out the video that you did, too, that's in the review that goes through the different lighting modes that are in there. They look great.
Yep.
So yeah, so definitely check that out. You gave that
10 out of 10 editor's choice, man.
Yes, editor's choice week, first week of January, editor's choice.
Seriously, I'm a skeptic, man. Like don't take it like that I'm just like handing this stuff out. Like if the thing doesn't work right or there's something, I'm going to jump on it, but
yeah,
dude,
we rarely
this is great.
Give products. Editor's choice is like the cream of the crop. Recommended is like say that somebody's asking me to build a system, what would you recommend for a case? Like that's why the NZXT case got her. Like what would you recommend for a GPU or something? That's like a recommended award. And then we have like a good value award if it's like a really good price for what you're getting. But Editor's Choice is like the cream of the crop. It's like the best products that really don't have any issues that are like that make it, you know, make you not want to get it, right?
Right.
It's just the best of the best. So two Editor's Choices in 1 week, that's pretty impressive, I would say.
Yep.
So we're coming down to the last product, and this product was a little disappointing. We talk about three really great products, then we come to another one. This is ADATA's XPG Inferex K20.
Oh, that's a terrible name.
Gaming keyboard. And XPG is ADATA's gaming line, more well known for their DDR4 and their SSDs, but they're getting into gaming accessories because, I mean, everybody is. And this is their, pretty simply designed gaming keyboard. It used Kale switches, so you don't have Cherry MX, but Kales are still good. I'm a fan of Kales. I mean, I don't see their being bad.
Kales are a good value.
Yeah, they're good value. This is like a full-size keyboard, 104-key layout. And it did a good job. I mean, Ryan reviewed it. He said it did a decent job for a keyboard, for a mechanical gaming keyboard. The RGB lighting is quite weird. You have to adjust it on the keyboard itself. There's no software, which also means there's no reprogramming of the keys.
Oh, really?
Which I think is, for a gaming keyboard, you need that. That's like a must-have. So you don't get any of that. And the LED quality on each of the LEDs is pretty bad. He said it's some of the worst he's seen.
I was gonna say the photos actually look kind of just there's something off about them, and I was wondering why. I was like, I wonder if it's a camera setting or something, but nope, that makes sense then.
Yeah, really... I mean, you can even see, like, you can just see the lighting in the photos. It's just not very good. And he said, like, the number row, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like, the font is a size smaller. Like, you can tell in the photo. Yeah. Like, that's a little weird as well. You know, it's just, you know, I really don't want to have to adjust my RGB settings on my keyboard. Like, I just don't. It's just not. I mean, you did that. What didn't you?
Yeah, I've reviewed several keyboards with that. It's a nightmare, man. Like, I've had, I forget which one I did, but it was actually reprogrammable by the keys on the keyboard. That was the only way to do it. And that's just, you know, like, it's like, it's old school, like cycling through, you know, like click, 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 click. Okay, that's the fifth one. All right, now I can advance to the next row, you know, like that sort of thing. It's just, we're just past it, you know?
Yeah. And then he said, like, the, like, some of the lighting's even off on the color, which would be kind of disappointing as well. So he really wasn't impressed with that.
You but having know, said that, it's cheap, right?
It's cheap, yeah. It's $44.99. There are better keyboards that you can get, in my opinion.
Okay.
At that price, I think. This is a more name brand, so, like, XPG's kind of more name. Like, you can get, like, some of the Drevo keyboards, which we reviewed, which I really, really liked, are right around the same price. And they also use Kale switches. But they have software, so big difference. So without software and everything like that and the limited lighting options, he gave a 7 out of 10. I agree with that. Based on everything that he said, it just doesn't seem like something that, even at $44.99,
like a 7 out of 10 at the $45 price range.
Yeah,
it sounds like a 3 or a 2 out of 10 at the $100 price range. So makes sense.
Yeah, so... So yeah, so that is our reviews, some awesome stuff, and an okay keyboard. We'll move on to Case Mod Friday, and this week we have another build inside of the Cougar Conqueror, which has been one of the...
Cougar's getting hit up this year, end of the year
here. Yeah, I actually found this one on Instagram, and this is... I don't think we've ever featured this guy. It's designs by IFR, and he did a really good job in this. Looks really, really great. Custom water cooling loop with chrome hard tubing and gold fittings.
Gold bits power,
which looks really, really good. The only problem, I'm sure you can spot it, I spotted it as soon as I saw this, is he has a Cougar power supply in there, and it's in there the correct way. That's how it's supposed to be for that, right?
Mm. Yeah.
But you gotta change that logo. It's flipped. That's the only, that's when I saw that I was like,
is it really the right way?
It is the right way, yes.
Like, because that is the opposite from every case I've installed in the past, I don't know how many years.
Yeah, I think it's just for the way the airflow is in this, that's the way you want to do it. That's how the InWin is. That's how the InWin, the one that's right next to me, the 805s are like that. Okay. And a lot of the other InWin cases are where the power supply switch from what you would normally
have. Yeah, because usually your intake is out of the bottom because you don't want to be – you want to draw – it's at the bottom of the case. You might as well draw fresh air in, right?
Yeah.
And then it exhausts out the back. But there is no – well, actually, this case is just – now that I'm looking at that, that's terrible airflow because that is drawing air in there, blowing it into your intake fan from the front, and then that's blowing the hot power supply air – over the rest of your components.
Now that I look at it, he actually has it. I don't think that's the proper place for the power supply.
Okay.
Because of the, I think where he it's has out of those position. Two hexagonal, I guess those are flow meters, right?
They're reservoirs. They're mini reses, yeah.
Yeah.
It should be over there.
It should be over there. But, like, I just would have, if this was the way that I had to do it, I would have taken that logo off and repainted it on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, or wrapped the power supply. Or put something. Some sort of a cover on it.
But besides that, I think it's a cool build. I love those little mini reses. I think they're awesome.
Those are cool, yeah.
Those are like one of my favorite things.
I like the gold PS or the CPU block top. That looks great. I don't know if I've seen that before.
Yeah, I don't think I have either. I don't know if he did that. I assume he did that custom. Might have. But he has that. He has the also he has the 8.8 XPG D40 or D41, which we actually reviewed that memory in there as well.
Which goes great with the which ring fans are those? Are those Thermaltake rings?
Those are no, they're Cougars RGB fans. Okay. They're Cougar Vortex RGB fans. So a lot of Cougar stuff in here, obviously.
Yeah, Cougar fans are great too, actually. But I'm not super familiar. I didn't know they had a ring design like that for the RGB.
One thing I also like that I'm just noticing, I didn't even see it before, is that he has Bits Power thumb screws. I'm a fan of that, like the Bits Power logo. I'm such a fan of, and he has the Bits Power thumb screws.
That right there is a touch, man. I've not seen those.
Yeah, so very, very good. I like it. I think it's cool. Cougar Conquer is just a great case to show off either water cooling or awesome hardware because it's completely open, and it just looks really, really great. So,
And one thing to really point out with this build is if you are a first timer or you're looking to like maybe step it up a little bit, but you know maybe you don't have the skills. Like this build is not really a mod. This is just buying parts and putting it together tastefully.
Correct.
Like you can do this if you put a little time and a little effort into this one and a good bit of money.
Now, can you buy those hard tube sections like that, like already pre-bent, kind of?
I don't believe so. No, you're gonna have to do the hard tube bends. But I mean, that's part of building your hard tubing. Like you just get the proper tools for it, and you can do it. Like the point is like he didn't dismantle this case. He didn't do any custom painting. He didn't do any machining or anything like that. Anything that like any of the real like warranty voiding type stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
And he just went out and he put some solid effort and a bit of creativity.
Like everything that he did, like the tube bending, putting a GPU block and CPU block on your motherboard and GPU, like you can look online and find tutorials on how to do that. And you can find tutorials how to put this whole water cooling loop together.
Yeah. I mean, you can get a lot of information right on thinkcomputers.org.
Yeah, we have a water cooling 101 article series that you did, 3 years ago now?
That's
it's crazy to think about because it seems like it was just yesterday. But yeah, definitely you can check that out. But I think it's a good build. I like it. I just like the colors. It's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm biased towards the gold and the chrome.
Yeah, the gold and the white. It just looks good.
Yeah, it looks really, really good. So talking about Case Mod Friday is that since it is the new year, we're going to talk about the best case mods of 2018. And this article won't go up till Friday. So if you're hearing this podcast before Friday, because we're going to be at CES the next week, we're talking about it now because I think it just makes a whole lot of sense.
Right.
Because with the craziness of CES next week, we're likely not doing a podcast. So I picked five builds, all kind of have their own unique flair to them. And I just thought like we're the best ones of 2018 that we featured, not just in general. But out of, you know, the 52 weeks in a year, right?
Sure is.
Out of the 52 mods that we featured, here's like my favorite or the favorites. So to start things off, we have the Case Labs Zeus 2.0. This is one of the first builds we featured in 2018. And the reason I really, really liked it, one, it's in their awesome case, which is the Magnum SMA 8, the A revision, which is just an amazing case in general. Second is like it uses those hexagonal type reservoirs, which we haven't seen.
Actually, I don't think we've seen those. Yeah, those rectangular, squarish shapes.
Yeah, so those were the Swiftech. They're made by Swiftech.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen them since this.
Yeah,
he's got Swifty blocks on there too.
The color and like the clear hard tubing, which just looks like crazy.
He's got that fantastic white back panel in the main compartment. Just looks great. I think that's actually Case Labs. Or was, I suppose, because they're closed now. But
yeah,
that was a Case Labs item that you could actually buy, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, they definitely did
the mid plate that way. And that, just the way that sits with the glass, it just looks so perfect, like a display, you know?
I agree.
Just perfect. I think this, I don't want to make anybody not, you know, close their judgment, but like, I think this is the best one.
Yeah, I really, really liked it. And of course, Case Labs did go out of business this year. So, you know, this
R.I.P.
is
Case just Labs. Re-
Yeah. So definitely one of my favorites. The second one is talk about the Cougar Conqueror. There was like, I think we did at least four or five Cougar Conqueror builds. And this one really caught my attention. It's the Anubis by Cap 10. And he made the front of it, like the head of Anubis, which just looks amazing. It's just like really clean. I like how clean this looks. And it's just like not like the one we just talked about for Case One Friday. That one's kind of like overdone. It's like really flashy. This one's kind of just like a solid, like looks solid. It looks good. It's really clean. So that's the reason I picked that one. But there's a lot of Cougar Conqueror builds that we featured, but I really like that one. And then moving on to, I'm not going to butcher this guy's name because he's from Vietnam, but it's a build inside the Lian Li PC-011 or PC-011. This case was like the case for builds this year. It really brought Lian Li back, I feel, like in the limelight, but to really be like an enthusiast case. I mean, this was
to be used just, and shown. Yeah.
Yeah. There were so many builds in this, case, and this one was just amazing. It's a completely decked out system too. Like anybody would love to have this system. Core i9, two Asus Poseidon GTX 1080 Ti's. So those are the hybrid cards.
Yeah.
That he does have in a custom loop, and he does have those larger hexagonal EK reservoirs that look so perfect in the front of this case. Like, we've seen multiple builds use this exact same layout of three of them right there.
Mm-hmm.
That just looks amazing. He has 128 gigs of DDR4 in there.
Yeah.
There's
a really nice symmetry between the hexagonal reservoirs and then the big looping coils for the power for the main board, and the two GPUs. And then it kind of even carries over to the three sections of tubing that are in the fittings that go to the two cards and then the CPU. It's good lines, good symmetry in this build.
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought out of the Lian Li builds that we saw this year, it was like the best one.
Yeah.
And then we'll move to Peter Brands, and he had his L3P Spectre, which was a custom case that he designed himself. And this was one of the first builds to feature RTX cards before they were available, which is kind of cool.
Right, yeah.
But the real thing, I mean, all the custom work that went into this is just amazing. But the real thing that I loved about this build, if you go to the feature page, is that the rear panel is completely clear. And it is not only a reservoir, but it has the cabling.
Yeah.
All lined out there. Snaking and I just think it, yeah. Yeah, it's just cool. I just think that's really awesome. And the fact that, you know, you plan that into your custom case that you're building and doing all that, I think that's really, really awesome. And I think this is one we'll see at CES. I believe we'll see this one at CES.
I hope so. I was actually going to say that of the cases that we're showing here, I think that in person this is probably the most impressive one.
Yeah, it's just really, really cool what he's done there with this. And then finally, we do have a scratch build. I wanted to include a scratch build, and it wasn't – I didn't mean to put Cap 10, and Cap 10's twice on our list. He had his Cougar Conqueror, and then he has this. But I think out of all the scratch builds that we featured this year, this one, one, if you close it, it doesn't even look like a computer, which I think is super impressive. But two, it is an impressive computer built in – to this. So this, I'm gonna butcher the name of this, but this is a bomber from it's designed as a after a bomber from a Stargate SG-1, and it looks exactly like it, one. But two, he's built some amazing water cooling, again using those hexagonal reses in there, mini ITX system, and it just, it's done well. Like all the cables are hidden and everything, and he has even some design elements in the computer that are based off of the bomber. I just think out of the scratch builds, this is the best one. It just looks so cool.
And I would say that as far as scratch builds go, it's so often a scratch build kind of just hides the components. It's this art piece, right? And then it doesn't mod the components in any way, shape, or form. It just kind of sticks them in there. And this one, he just really showcases them and builds them into the that compartment of the build, and they match the exterior fantastically while still being really good looking, a really good looking water cooling loop, right?
Yeah, I think it looks amazing. And the fact that he's able to get all of that into this and have it look just like a real piece of art and have a good system in there too, it's just, it's so impressive. Yep. Very, very cool. So definitely check all of those out. Again, if you're listening to the podcast before Friday, it will be up on Friday. So just definitely stay tuned for that. But let's just jump into news. And it is the week from New Year's to the New Year, or the week from Christmas to the New Year. So we don't have a whole lot of stuff, but we have some interesting stuff, I think. First is that photos of an RTX 2060 Founders Edition have been leaked to the web. So this card definitely is happening. We've seen a ton of news on it, but to actually see it, like to see a real photo of it, yeah. It looks exactly like the RTX 2070, almost the same size as well. More than likely because they're using the same PCB design, obviously using less memory.
Yeah.
In the Founders Edition, we talked about it last week, there'll be like possibly 6 to 12 versions of RTX 2060. The Founders Edition will be the highest spec one, so it will have 6 gigabytes of GDDR6.
A good thing? I think it's a good thing that it looks exactly the same, because I find that the 60 cards often look, they look the cheap part, that they kind of maintain that position, you know?
Yeah, I like this design.
This one, for a 2060, this is, I think, as good as it gets.
Yeah, and it uses 8-pin power, all of that.
That's great.
Whoever had this card, NVIDIA sends a reviewer's guide with it that has benchmarks, like their benchmarks.
Mm.
And all that information was also leaked or given out.
This will be the very last one that they ever get, you think?
Yeah, whoever leaked this, we don't know. If you look at the performance, and the performance was at 1080p and 1440p, pretty much what this card's designed for. Obviously, this card has not even come close to being for 4K. It's not that card. It's within 5% of the 1070 Ti. I think that's pretty good. Based on the performance of the 1070 Ti, which I do have here, I have one. Getting a 2060 $349.99 that performs at the same, around the same,
yeah,
as a 1070 Ti is pretty impressive to me. Obviously, overclocked, and you have to remember too is that Founders Editions are usually $100 over the cheapest card from board partner. You could see, $349, $379 for like overclocked versions, something like that. Just normal reference versions could be as low as $199, maybe.
Mm. That would be.
Or no, not $199. $299, sorry. I got a little excited there.
Yeah, man, you got me thinking like, oh, they're going to price it correctly.
But again, you have to also remember there's going to be a ton of different versions. Possibly with different memory layouts.
It's gonna be a minefield trying to figure out which one you should buy.
Yeah, it is good to see decent performance from this card and a more decent price than we're used to.
I think that this is not quite sure. This is not gonna do 4K for you.
Mm-mm.
But 1440p is a pretty decent resolution, I think, especially for somebody that is shopping in this price range. That's probably the best, not necessarily, but it kind of is a match. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
So I think it's all playable frame rates by far at 1440p, according to their
tests, and just going over some of the stuff. Battlefield 5, obviously you have ray tracing turned off, 85 frames a second. Let's see what other popular games. Far Cry 5. And this is at 1440p.
Yes.
Far Cry 5 at 1440p is 77 frames a second. PUBG, 82 frames a second. Let's see. Hitman 2, 78. Doom, 108. I mean, yeah.
Wolfenstein 2, 94. That was actually a pretty heavy game.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah.
It's not bad. It's really, actually, I go away from even saying not bad. I say it's pretty good.
Again, these are NVIDIA numbers.
Yeah.
We'll have to see when the card supposedly come out. I assume we'll see this at CES being announced. They say that the actual launch date will be the 15th, which kind of makes sense. It's like a week after CES.
Yeah.
But if it's at this price point, I think this is the card, right? This is the new generation 1070, right? 970, 1070, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I think that this is the card that most people can afford to buy.
Yeah, that too, sadly. We're planning on going to the NVIDIA press conference, which is on the 6th. So that evening,
less than a week out,
We should have some information if they talk about it at there. And then I assume when we meet with all the other companies, we'll have even more information.
For sure.
Definitely. Stay tuned for that. So talking about one of those companies, leaked models of Zotac RTX 2060s have been leaked, or they came out, and they're going to have a Zotac Gaming GeForce RTX 2060 amp and a Zotac Gaming GeForce RTX 2060 twin fan. They're almost the same design. I assume the amp version, just like the 2080 that we reviewed, is going to be a lot higher clocked, I assume, and it probably will have better RGB effects or something, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
the renders here, they look very similar to the Titan V, in my opinion, with a dual blower instead.
Sort of.
Those lines, those very radar. What do you call that design?
Aircraft version. This is the same design they kind of went with their RTX 2080 and 2080 Ti's,
yeah,
and 2070s as well. Obviously, this is cut down, but I think it looks. I think they look good.
Yeah,
Looks
like a. Do you think it looks like a custom? I mean, these are renders, so we're totally kind of guessing here. But they look, unless the scale's been changed, they look shorter than the Founders one. So do you custom PCB then?
Yeah, I think especially amp additions usually typically always have custom PCB design.
Yeah.
But I do think in general the 2060 will be a shorter card in all aspects. I think the Founders Edition is just to keep that.
Probably so they don't have to make a new cooler.
Yeah,
that keeps the cost down for them.
Yeah. But in general, you'll see a lot of smaller ones of the 2060. They should be shorter, so... So anyway, so we have that, and also talking about NVIDIA, it looks like an OEM out of Taiwan has leaked information on the RTX Mobility Series. So this will be the mobile GPUs, and this is a good thing because just like we were stuck on 10 series graphics cards for 2 years, we've been stuck on 10 series mobile for a while too. And if you're, a mobile gamer who wants something new, want more performance in your, in a new laptop you might be getting, it's been 2 or 3 years, you're wondering, it looks like you will see a RTX 2080 MXM OC and RTX 2070 MXM OC and RTX 2060 MXM OC. And it's expected that these will also be announced at CES. So that's kind of interesting if you think about it. Because NVIDIA usually launches one big thing at CES, right? And it's usually not graphics. It's usually it's always been their car AI or something like that, right?
Or a TV.
big format gaming display.
Yeah.
So this is interesting that we're seeing possibly two graphics launches at CES, which I think is cool because we never get to see those. We're, at Computex, they're always at Computex. You never get to see them at CES. The 2080 and the 2070 Will have the exact same number, according to this leak, will have the exact same number of CUDA cores as their desktop versions. And they'll have slightly increased clocks as well. The 2060 will have a little bit less, according to this leak.
I kind of think these might be figures we need to wait on hearing.
You know, but if you look, Taiwanese company also released, you know, a 3D Mark 11 GPU score performance. And if you look at it, you know, a 2070, if you, you know, if you look at the, a GTX 1080 Ti is getting crushed, by the RTX, the 2070 and 2080. Yeah. So it'd be cool to see. I think that if this, as well as the RTX 2060, you know, if we get mobility parts and the RTX 2060 at CES, there's going to be a lot of new laptops, which would be cool to see, like all the big names like Razer, Alienware, you know, all those guys. Plus, you're going to see a ton of graphics cards, which will be a really fun show because sometimes we go to these companies and they don't have anything new.
Right.
You know,
so it's almost not any point in going to them.
Yeah, and we're in between chipsets, right? For CPUs. So, oh, at least a core.
Well,
hopefully.
Well,
yeah.
Well,
we talked last week that AMD might, you know,
it might be a big year for AMD.
You know, we have all this NVIDIA stuff, and then we also talked about last week about AMD hopefully announcing Vega 2. So this might be like one of the best CESs yet for you know, real PC users. You know, that's pretty exciting.
Potentially heavy product launches.
Yes. So moving away from graphics, we have two more stories this week. The first one is that Raid Max, who makes cases mainly, they've also come out with RGB heat spreaders. These will work with DDR4 through DDR2. And they have a diffuser at the top that has five addressable RGB LEDs under them. They'll come in kits of two. I think they're like $20. Like,
that's not bad.
They're not super expensive. I don't think they look that great, but I think if you want to add RGB lighting, it's another option. This is what, the third or fourth option you have now?
Yeah, it is. Yep. It's interesting. Is it interesting to you that the only colors that they show are like variants of blue and red?
Yeah, whoever did these, and they're like photos, that their press photos are like very small,
and they're the way they're photoshopped is really poor too. The lines look bad, but anyways, aside from that, I don't know. It makes sense to me the way we're seeing these is with this company, not necessarily the highest end, but and then I'm questioning like support for DDR2. What board has a header for an RGB header
that also
supports DDR2? Why even bother?
So this does not come with a controller, so you have to plug this into either an RGB header on your motherboard, which would make sense. Yeah. Or an RGB controller
like
of some
adapter,
sort, which they do make, which you can get.
Okay.
You know,
I guess that
like
allows
the
you to RGB up your old DDR2 system.
Yeah. The Thermaltake one of this did come with a controller.
Right.
So...
At $20, okay.
Yeah, I just think that Raymax is trying to capitalize on this RGB thing. And, I mean, these aren't terribly hard to make. The design aspect of these is not that great.
The only thing you really have to design is just the lights and the diffuser, the heat spreaders. I mean that's existed for years.
Yeah. So at $20, it wouldn't be. I don't know.
I wouldn't put them in my system, but
yeah. And I think too, if you know, I guess RGB modules are much more like the difference between a non-RGB and RGB module and a dual channel kit. What's the difference there?
A lot, like $100. No,
okay.
Maybe not $100, but it's
a
lot.
It does,
yeah,
yeah.
I think the biggest thing is if there really is support for it, there is no such thing as RGB DDR2 or probably even 3. So I can't imagine there's DDR3 because, I mean, why would they? Why would somebody go back and make that?
Yeah,
but So. That if there's a market there for that, I mean, it's probably small, but Raid Max isn't a huge company, so
Yeah, and I think that I think these are priced at $20. It's not like it's like a stocking stuffer, you know, something you throw in, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, instead of getting your kid like the, you know, $400 memory, you get them like a $200 memory, and then spend $20 on these. Or...
This is the kid asked grandma for the $400 memory, and she found these for him, and they're yeah. those will do just fine, right?
Yeah. Without memory. So that brings us to our last story, which is Steam has released their best of 2018 listings, and it's always cool to see like what the most played game is on Steam and like games that are still selling a lot.
Yeah,
you know, and they've kind of done it this year. They did it a little bit differently. They have like top sellers, top new releases, top selling VR games, top early access graduates, and most players. And if you look at the top sellers in their platinum section, you know, you see some older games in there that are still top sellers, like Grand Theft Auto 5, which has been out for a very long time.
Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
And Civ 6. Like, oh, no, that's actually newer, isn't it?
This is also, like, not including sales of the game, but, like, in-game items and DLC and stuff like that. Okay. I mean, CSGO is still on there, and that's a... Well, now it's a free-to-play game.
Right.
And, like, Dota 2 is also free-to-play, and Warframe is also free-to-play. If you're looking for a good... like first-person shooter, Warframe is actually kind of cool. I played it for a while, but there's all, and then those are all free, and they're all you buy DLC and you buy items and things like that. So it shows you that that model definitely can work. You know, we saw it with Fortnite, obviously,
right?
that model definitely can work. Rocket League's on there; that's been out for a while too. So. Really cool stuff to see on that. And if you go to the most players, right. You still see Team Fortress 2 up there.
Whoa. Whoa, dude, I forgot about that game.
That game's so much fun.
Dude, TF2 was... I mean, that was it, right? That was the... Can we call it the Fortnite of its time? Maybe yeah, not. Maybe of, not quite.
Not but, quite, but... You know, it came out in 2007, huge. And it's still one of the most played games. I think just because of the team aspect of it, like,
yeah,
you know, it's like the old version of Overwatch, right?
Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
has
it,
yeah.
And it worked on, like, every system, too. It's not a heavy game, so that was a big yeah. selling point.
So, yeah, so that's pretty cool to see that. Also, Grand Theft 5 over there for most played. That's still a fun game
Monster to play. Hunter kind of surprises me.
I don't see it. Oh, I do see. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a newer
Monster
game,
Hunter so. World, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's. Yeah, I know it's a newer game, but like it didn't. It released during, you know, PUBG and Fortnite. So.
Yeah.
Like anything that sells at this point in time is like I'm like, hey, good on you.
Yeah,
you're
you
doing
also
it
have,
still.
CS:GO, PUBG, Realm Royale, which is the free to play. Battle Royale game. I haven't played that. It has decent reviews though.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it's cool to see all that. And what's cool is a lot of these games are on sale right now too. So, you know, you might want to pick them up. But this also gives you like, especially like the most players will like, okay, so like there's a ton of people playing this game. It must be semi good, right? For a lot of people to be playing it.
Right. That are free. So,
yeah, that too.
I mean, that drives a lot, but...
Yeah, but, like, you know, you can see all these games and be like, okay, maybe I'll pick that up. I need a game to play. Like, what are a lot of people playing?
Right, like, this game's still get in play. A real surprise to me in the over 50,000 category, Farming Simulator 19. I did not know Mark Vaughn had that many friends. Like, seriously.
Our friend Mark lives on a farm, and we always make fun of him. Yeah. But yeah, no, and there's there like remember how Subnautica was free? It's in this 50,000. You know, and that's not on Steam, that's on the Epic Games Store. Payday 2 is still on here, that's still a fun game.
Out of legs on that one.
Yeah. So yeah, so it's just cool to see. I love that Steam does this every year. And I do like that they put in that VR, best-selling VR games, because like VR games are like not very well known and like you don't know what's good.
Well, there's right? so many, yeah. Like and yeah, it's just yeah, you're right on the money with that one.
Yeah, so it's just cool. Good to see
Job Simulator, of course.
Yeah, you have Pavlov VR shooter. You have Fallout 4 VR. You have a game called Gorn. You have
Orbis. Beat Saber is supposed to be really good.
You have Skyrim VR. So yeah, it's just like I said, it's just cool. We have the links where you can check all that stuff out. So you can, you know.
Yeah.
And you get some ideas for some games. It is, you know, most people are off for maybe another few days, maybe the rest of this week, maybe all of January. Who knows?
Maybe you don't have a job.
There's some stuff you could check out. You know what I mean? So that is all of our news for this week. We usually talk about our reviews coming up next week, but we're going to be gone. We're going to be in
Vegas.
So
we're going to have some coverage for you still, though.
Oh, we'll have a lot of stuff coming out next week. What is the thing that you're one thing that you want to happen at CES? Like you want to see, like you, this product that you want to see come out?
3000 series AMD parts.
I don't think they'll be ready. But
you asked what I wanted, okay?
Yeah. Here's what I want. And this will make everything great. Is that Vega 2. Consumer card, right?
I don't know where you're going with this.
Vega 2 consumer that competes against NVIDIA's 20 series. Competitively priced like AMD's Ryzen parts.
If AMD can launch a Vega 2 part that is within 5% of the 2080, just the 2080, at... And it'll obviously be, it'll be $100-$150 less, right? Or more. $450, I bet. Yeah. They launch at $450. It will demolish the current graphics card market.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen.
No. That's like my 3000 series dream, but.
Knowing AMD, when it comes to GPUs, I just don't see that happening. But that's like my goal. That's like what I want to see. Because you saw what AMD did in the CPU market and how we have these awesome products now. We have 8-core, 16-thread consumer parts now. Would have never happened.
Right.
Eventually, maybe in 2025. Who knows?
Well,
yeah. But, you know, we need something like that. NVIDIA's not doing very well right now at all.
Dude, if they had anything knock them back right now, it would just run. It would, anything close would just sell like crazy. It'd be no problem.
Yeah, so again, AMD is also having a press conference and we're visiting with them at CES, so we'll definitely let you know what we see, what we can tell you about. But also we're just gonna, you know, CES is gonna be a lot of fun. I think I'm pretty excited for it.
Yeah, we're doing something a little different this year. We want to talk about that.
Yeah, so we're doing, this was Derek's idea, so you can't give me all the credit, is that we're doing a vlog series. So we're going to do a sort of behind the scenes, we're going to kick it off with a video that's going to launch, I believe, towards the end of this week, and it's going to be like, what's in our bag to cover CES, right? That's going to be our first vlog, and then it's going to go to like our traveling, like, you know, getting on the plane, going to Vegas, and then, you know, in between meetings and what we're doing and going to parties, like the real behind the scenes, what it takes to cover the show. I think it would give you guys a great idea of what it's like to be there. And not all this is going to be released during the week of CES, because that would be kind of impossible with all the coverage that we're doing. But we'll try to release at least one or two videos, you know, within CES, and then the rest will come out after. But I think it's going to be just a great way of you guys to see, you know, what it's like to be there. Really check out the show and, you know, kind of follow us around and, you know, all the stuff we get into it in Vegas. It would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's always a bunch of shenanigans and a ridiculous amount of hard work, but it's always worth it and it's a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun. So we have that along with all of our normal coverage. So, you know, all the videos we released last year, we'll have just as many this year. We're meeting with a lot of really cool companies and hopefully they have a lot of, you know, based on all the leaks and everything that we've seen, we should have a lot of stuff to cover and a lot of stuff to tell you guys about. So
it's actually fairly exciting this year, I think. Like,
yeah, I think for a lot of years, it's, you know, CES is always the TV show, right?
Absolutely. It's always
The drone show, the TV show. It's like this year we actually have stuff that CPU or we might have CPUs, we might have GPUs. Like, it's a good show for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm pretty excited for it. I can't wait. So yeah, so definitely stay tuned for all of that stuff. And we'll talk about, you know, at the end of each episode, we talk about if we did anything nerdy or cool or saw anything. And we both have actually watched some stuff. The first thing that I've watched, I just finished it today, is a documentary on Commodore. And it's kind of a little bit before my time getting into computers, a little bit. But I mean, everybody obviously knows the Commodore 64, which is more like a gaming system. But this goes back through the whole story of Commodore and how they were one of the biggest PC manufacturers in the world. And, you know, what they really did and how they changed the game and did all that. Really, really cool. Definitely worth checking out. You can check it out on Netflix. It's just called The Commodore Story. I would definitely recommend that. And then National Geographic is doing this, I think it's a 6-part series called Valley of the Boom, and it's going over the dot-com boom of the late 1990s. And it's actually really cool. It follows a couple different companies through, you know, how they started and how they blew up and how the bubble burst. I guess I haven't got there yet. But the first episode, the first episode is available on YouTube. The second episode, which I found on National Geographic's website, you can also watch for free somehow. But the actual series is supposed to start in January 16th or 19th. Cool. But you can watch the first two episodes, which are like an hour long each. And it's really cool. I think it shows you really the behind the scenes and like how these companies who were like nothing, you know, had these, you know, crazy evaluations. And they weren't, you know, now you think about it, you're like, what? They gave them this money for what? Like,
yeah.
Like, so that was the dot-com boom, which most of you should have lived through. So,
yep.
And then you read
checked out the Mortal Engines book. I mean, we all saw the trailer coming and I was like, I got interested in that. I know it was a pretty big series. So I checked out the first book. I've read that now. It's pretty good, actually. It's kind of light on like the details in a way. Like, it's a pretty quick, easy read, but it's a good like concept. It's really cool ideas, and so it was fun to jump into something new like that. And of course the movie is out now, so now I've got that read. I can go check the movie out and I can be mad that the movie isn't the book, because that's what I do.
Yeah, that's what you do.
So yeah, it's cool.
Nice. So we'll leave you guys here. Really excited. Definitely check out all of our social media. Follow us on social media.
Yeah.
We have all the links there on the website for all of our coverage. We'll be doing a lot of live stuff too at CES. So like, you know, when we go visit certain companies, we'll be going either live on Facebook or Instagram, depending on which one actually works better. I'm thinking Instagram. But yeah, guys, so we'll have our full show notes page with everything that we talked about in this episode. So you can go ahead and click through and you'll be easily, you know, you'd be very, very easy to find us now on all of the podcasting thing. We've got everything figured out. We're on Google Podcasts. We're on, of course, iTunes. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on like everything.
Right.
We're on now. So we're easy to find. Just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, or actually, we won't be here next week.
No.
Until the following week.
Probably not even.
Yeah. Who knows? We'll see you the next time we're back.
See you when we see you.
Podcast. Yeah. After CES. After, oh, man, I can't even talk. After CES, we will see you guys.
That's good.